Well, it was a big day yesterday at the Prince George Public Library. After 33 years, the library bathrooms have a new look and some new features. The focus on the makeover was on accessibility for disabled people, for parents, and for trans people. Mayor Lynn Hall and Councillor Gillian Merrick took us on a tour of the facilities.
So I'm really disappointed because I heard originally that we were going to cut toilet paper as opposed to the ribbon. So this is nice. So we're going to take you through both the women's and the men's washroom. And as you can see, it does the trick. Accessibility is not an issue.
Is this your first time in a women's washroom?
I think so. So let's go into the men's.
Okay.
They've expanded the children's areas and relocated some of it so they could fit these washrooms in this particular location.
Julia Merrick and I'm actually the council liaison for the Accessibility Committee. We recognize now that, parents are both male and female, and at any given time, either one could be a caretaker. So we've got our accessible washroom here, and within the stall, the single stall itself, there is both the facility, the toilet facility, but also a changing station and a sink self-contained within the stall. And this is designed for people who might have kids with them that want to bring them into the stall so they're not running around in the public washroom while they're doing their business. A lot of challenge in leaving three young kids unattended, and so it's nice to have a separate washroom that you can go and lock the door and bring the kids into while you're using the washroom, and you don't have to worry about the kids running around. And then of course there's all kinds of issues around transgender identity and people who don't feel comfortable using either a male or female only washroom, and so family washrooms also serve as gender neutral washrooms as well.
There you go. That is a little tour of the Prince George Library as some officials, including Mayor Lynn Hall and Councillor Gillian Merrick, showing off the new facilities at the downtown public library. And that includes a gender-neutral washroom. The idea of gender-neutral washrooms came from a few people, including Michael Cruikshank. He's the team programmer for the library, and he's with me in studio today. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Russell.
First of all, why make the suggestion for a gender-neutral bathroom?
Well, as the teen program, I work pretty closely with the GSA or the rebranded QSA at the library. And so I definitely heard some feedback from the kids that I work with about the necessity for that at the library. We also heard voices from our gender creative family group, and they also had some concerns about accessibility of washrooms for transgender people. And so the voices were pretty loud that it was a needed thing in the library.
Educate me a little bit on what's it like for someone who's transgendered to what sort of issues come into just using the bathroom. I think for a lot of us, we take it for granted.
Yeah, for sure we do. For most of us, it's such a simple thing. You go in, there's the binary. You check the male box or the female box. For some people, it's just not so simple. It's a little bit more black and white, and they may not feel comfortable in either one of those situations. So we have provided them with an option that will allow them to feel safe and comfortable when they come to the library to do the thing that everybody does.
One of the issues, I suppose, that the general public might have is what are some of the issues that the rest of the public would have in terms of going to a gender neutral bathroom?
Oh, well, I would hope that there aren't too many issues at all, really. I mean, ideally, all bathrooms would be trans-friendly, but that's not always the case. So sometimes somebody might feel uncomfortable in a washroom if they feel as though somebody's presenting differently than the gender they feel the bathroom is identified for.
And I think that's where some of the issues might come, is that, I think we're conditioned, I suppose, that when you go into a bathroom to see men in the men's washroom and women in the female washroom.
Yeah, that's right. We do have pretty strict binary relations with our gender, especially in bathrooms. They're almost hyper-gendered spaces. And so when you don't fit in that binary one way or another, it can be a very uncomfortable and sometimes even unsafe experience.
What do you think the city is doing, or how do you think they're doing in terms of accommodating trans people generally in some of these public spaces?
I think it's getting better. I think we've come a long ways. I think we have a long ways to go. I kind of think the transgendered and transgendered issues are kind of the next up-and-coming thing within the LGBT community. We've made huge strides in the LGBT community, but trans people are still kind of not getting the attention they deserve. And so providing them with this kind of facility where they can come to the library, it is a community space where everybody's supposed to come and feel comfortable and safe. And so we're just trying to provide that space for them.
It's not exactly an Ally McBeal world yet where they had the co-ed bathrooms.
Right, not so quite.
How much of a step forward is this, and how much work still needs to be done?
Well, more and more we are seeing this kind of situation where we do have either trans-friendly or gender-neutral bathrooms. But I think there's still a lot of work that needs to be done from the people I've been talking to. There's lots of places where you and I would go and we don't even give it a second thought. A lot of trans people, like when they enter a bathroom, it's probably something they've really considered, which one they're going to go into or whether it's safe for them to do so, that they just need to just hold it or what have you, which is, something the rest of us don't really have to deal with.
Yeah. What kind of message do you think it sends to the community at large? I mean, certainly a city-owned facility has certain obligations to serve the public, but a privately owned company may not necessarily have the same impetus, but what kind of message does it send that at least it's starting with the library?
Yeah, well, I think the library is a great place to start because it is a community place and it is supposed to be everybody's building. And so I think it does set a little bit of a precedent and hopefully others will follow suit. They'll see that, the library is doing something. They are being a little bit progressive here. And so it's a really awesome step in the right direction, and I would really like to see some more people follow up with that.
And Michael, before I let you go here this morning, I know this has been an important issue for you, not just as a library employee, but personally as well. It's something you advocated for, but what else do you think you'll be doing to advocate for a more trans-friendly city?
I'll just keep being as strong as an ally as I can. I'll keep advocating for I specifically work with youth, so I'll continue to advocate for the youth, and I'll always be there and step up when I feel like it's necessary.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning, Michael.
You're
appreciate
very welcome.
You taking
thank
the
you.
Time. Michael Cruikshank with the Prince George Public Library. He's the team programmer over there. We want to hear what you think. What can the city do and what can public spaces generally do to become more trans-friendly, to make people of the community a little more welcome and certainly cause a little less stress for people under those circumstances? And why does it matter to you about making the city more trans-friendly? You can share your thoughts on our listener line.